an account in which of where FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had told in April of 1948 that as long as he was president, that the United States would not recognize Israel as a nation. And according to this account, 1 week later, he died. And President Harry Truman was made president. And when Israel became a nation, President Truman immediately recognized Israel as a nation. And it's always amazing how things work out. I want to pick for my scripture reading a scripture from the 15th chapter of the book of Alma. Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth and cry repentance unto every people. Yea, I would declare unto every soul that with the voice of thunder, repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon the face of the earth. But behold, I am a man and do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me. And let us open by singing hymn 197.
Father in heaven, we would invite you this morning that you would come amongst us and that you would enlighten our minds and lift our hearts, that we might be encouraged and that we might strive to fulfill the things that you have asked us to do. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
When the priesthood come to your aisle, they will pass this little container down, and you will put in that container something that you feel is appropriate within your heart and within your financial situation. We have to ask ourselves individually, what do we do with our resources, our surplus, and does it really matter? Since the church has been decentralized now for nearly 40 years, we often hear the excuse that, there's really no structure, there is no reason to file a tithing statement, and therefore there is no reason to do tithing. But as I stand before you this morning as an elder in the church, I admonish you to know and to read the scriptures that tell you that it is not the world church structure that commands you to do your annual tithing. Our Lord and our God has commanded us to do that. And when we do not do that, we are not following the financial law. And by the way of self-evaluation and not admonishment, certainly to anyone here in this room, that when we do that, we may not have a place to send it, but we have done what the law has asked us to do, and that is to make an accounting. If you have problems with that accounting or that process, you know that there's many, many places you can go within the branch here to make that accounting. It is not what we want. It is what God wants. I would like to offer a prayer in the form of a scripture reading, if you would allow me to do so, in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Thank you.
for a scripture reading. This morning I would like to read to you an account from our church history, if you will, commencing on page 34 of volume 1. The reason I do that is that today is May 15th. We've already talked about that in this service this morning. On May 15th, the Aaronic priesthood was confirmed upon them through the instrumentality of John the Baptist. On this point, we allow Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery to relate the circumstances. Joseph Smith says, "We still continued the work of translation when in the ensuing month, May 1829, we on a certain day went into the woods to pray and inquire of the Lord respecting baptism for the remission of sins, as we found mentioned in the translation of the plates." This was 187 years ago today. "While we were thus employed praying and calling upon the Lord, a messenger from heaven descended in a cloud of light, and having laid his hands upon us, he ordained us, saying unto us, 'Upon you, my fellow servants, in the name of Messiah, I confer the priesthood of Aaron, which holds the keys of the ministering of angels, and of the gospel of repentance, and of baptism by immersion, for the remission of sins, and this shall never be taken again from the earth until the sons of Levi do offer again an offering unto the Lord in righteousness.'" He said this Aaronic priesthood had not the power of laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost, but that this should be conferred on us hereafter, and be commanded, and he commanded us to go and be baptized, and gave us directions that I should baptize Oliver Cowdery, and afterwards that he should baptize me. Accordingly, we went and were baptized. I baptized him first, and afterwards he baptized me, after which I laid my hands upon his head and ordained him to the Aaronic priesthood. And afterwards he laid his hands on me and ordained me to the same priesthood, for so we were commanded. The messenger who visited us on this occasion and conferred this priesthood upon us said that his name was John, the same that is called John the Baptist in the New Testament, and that he acted under the direction of Peter, James, and John, who held the keys of the priesthood of Melchizedek, which priesthood, he said, should in due time be conferred on us, and that I should be called the first elder and he the second. It was on the 15th day of May, 1829, that we were baptized and ordained under the hand of the messenger. Immediately upon our coming up out of the water, after we had been baptized, we experienced great and glorious blessings from our Heavenly Father. No sooner had I baptized Oliver Cowdery than the Holy Ghost fell upon him, and he stood up and prophesied many things which should shortly come to pass. And again, so soon as I had been baptized by him, I also had the spirit of prophecy. When standing up, I prophesied concerning the rise of the church and many other things connected with the church and this generation of the children of men. We were filled with the Holy Ghost and rejoiced in the God of our salvation. Our minds being now enlightened, we began to have the scriptures laid open to our understandings. and the true meaning of their more mysterious passages revealed unto us in a manner which we never could attain so previously, nor ever before had thought of. Thank you, Nathan. It's so good to sit under that ministry. The violin is one of the most difficult instruments to play. My daughter plays the violin as well. And I would encourage you, Nathan, to continue. And the Lord will bless you in your endeavors to please Him, especially as you stand to give ministry to the Lord. It was so good to hear that. Brothers and sisters, do you know what you have? Do you know what you have right here? We have a marvelous opportunity to serve the Lord in righteousness and in truth here in this branch. I've attended many branches over the years as they've invited me to come in and so forth. Just attended one last Wednesday night as being a part of a confirmation service. It was a good service, but do you know what you have here? You have a most marvelous setting to come and worship your Heavenly Father. And when we worship Him in spirit and in truth, then and only then can He bless us and forgive us of our sins as we come to Him and call upon Him. What a marvelous privilege it is to be in the light of the latter-day glory, wherein we have ordinance in the church, and in particular, the ordinance of the preached word. See, we can come and preach, and we can come and listen in the freedom that God has given us. What a marvelous opportunity it is that we have. In the Doctrine and Covenants, one of the men were counseled by another servant that he would feel as though he could not say enough for the cause of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. This is my experience even now this morning. There's not enough good things I can say about God and Jesus Christ and what they have done for us. And we can never pay Him back. We're continually indebted to Him, are we not, as the Book of Mormon says? We're continually indebted to Him. He blesses us. We thank Him for it. Before we can even thank Him for it, He's blessed us with something else, something different, even something bigger, perhaps. So now it's time for us to give thanks, for the many marvelous corporate and individual blessings that we've been experiencing here lately. Have you noticed it? I sure have. This year is a year of Jubilee, the year of 2016. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it's a special year. Many wonderful things have happened in your life, and many more great, big, and marvelous things are going to happen in your life the remainder of this year, 2016. He wants us to try Him, to try the spirits, and to try His Spirit, that we can accept and know and have the privilege of knowing that He will bless us only as He can bless us. And to know also that He cannot be frustrated. In section 2, the works and the designs and the purposes of God cannot be frustrated. Neither can they come to naught, for God doth not walk in crooked paths, neither doth He turn to the right hand nor to the left, neither doth He vary from that which He has said. Therefore His paths are straight, and His course is one eternal round. Remember, that it is not the work of God that is frustrated, but the work of men. For although a man may have many revelations and have power to do many mighty works, yet if he boast in his own strength and sets at naught the counsels of God and follow after the dictates of his own will and carnal desires, he must fall and incur the vengeance of a just God upon him. There's a pattern, and we have to obey that pattern, brothers and sisters, if we're to expect the blessings of heaven. What a marvelous opportunity it is that we have in these latter days to have latter-day revelation, when the Lord wants us to come to know Him and come to know His ways and His methods. He said in 1916, "My words have soon been forgotten. I have appointed their work and endowed their hands, but have failed of their confidence. Yet who has trusted me in vain, or who that has been faithful has found my weapons insufficient? Where has my work been put to shame among those who have trusted my provision? Has he whom I have chosen become wiser than I, or have years brought feebleness to my hand? Hath not my eye foreseen Or are the conditions that confront my heritage a surprise unto me? Have I grown small in my people's eyes, or have my ordinances become shrunken, that they are without virtue? If my appointments avail not, shall I make potent the instruments of their choosing? Or by what line shall their success be measured? Has my light grown dim? And will they draw oil from wells without for my replenishment? By what form of speech shall I appeal unto them? And what language shall impress, that they may know that I am God? I change not, nor shall my glory be given to another. Nevertheless, I will yet a while be patient with my people. My purpose shall stand, and its consummation shall not fail. I will exalt whom I will, and it shall be for my honor. I will displace whom I will, and it shall be to my praise. And my movements shall speed the redemption of Zion and the vindication of my covenant. For behold, the time is ripe for my accomplishment, and my appointments have been from the beginning. Whoso trusteth in me shall find me sufficient, and in due time shall share in my triumph. He that hath not this faith must be content with the fruit of his own sowing. My ways are not man's ways, nor my thoughts his thoughts. But he that abideth in my ways shall not be disappointed. What a marvelous God we have, brothers and sisters, to come to know these things, that he will allow us to know, is just remarkable. I've watched him move in the lives of his people this year, more so than I have in years past. I've been going here a while, 25 years to be exact. We built this church, remember? I've seen him bless his people to a greater degree than before. Why? Maybe it's because the time is short for us to sit up and pay attention. Brothers and sisters, there's just enough time to come closer to him and receive of his urgings, to receive of his methods, to receive of his blessings and his counsel, and to receive of his secret. I don't have to tell you what his secret is, for you know it. It was given back in 1925. Remember, he said his secret is for us to return good for ill. That's the secret. That's what you have here. What a marvelous blessing that you know his secret. He said, for he that is wise shall learn my secret. And then he gives us that secret in that revelation of 1925 that came through Brother Joseph Luff. To return good for ill. And we have an equal right to this claim. We have equal rights to his bountiful blessing and his mercies. For he is no respecter of persons. And remember that the worth of souls is great in the sight of God. We talked about keeping the Sabbath day holy and so forth in class this morning. If you get a chance this afternoon, I would recommend that you read the 26th chapter of the book of Leviticus. It's different in the inspired version than it is in the King James. The Lord said, "Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Why? Because we keep his commandments and reverence this sanctuary. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. That's a promise. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. That's the God we worship. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you. Do you see, the Lord is going to have respect for you if you have respect for him in this sanctuary and in your heart. He'll respect you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor it. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God. It's rather simple, isn't it? What a marvelous blessing we have, brothers and sisters, to be in this light, the light of the latter-day glory. You might think that the Lord has forgotten or forsaken you from time to time in your lives. But I say to you, he has not forgotten you nor forsaken you. For a small moment have I forgotten thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, he says, will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is the waters of Noah, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. As I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my people be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on us. Thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I would encourage you to finish that 54th chapter of the book of Isaiah today as well. Because you see, the Lord has not forgotten you, and he has not forgotten the covenant that he's made with you, and neither has time dissolved the integrity of it. It is the same as the day you made it in the waters of baptism. In the March sacrament service, please recall that we were told, under the influence of the Spirit, through our pastor, that the Lord loves you and that our sins are forgiven us. I have not seen this in a corporate setting in this branch. Oh, we've been told from the pulpit that he loves us. But to my knowledge, we have not been told corporately that our sins or forgiven us. Brothers and sisters, that was a milestone. It really was, and it is a milestone. It's no coincidence that it happened in the year of 2016, the Jubilee year, every 50th year, you see. It was also the month of Easter. It was given March 27th, if you remember. We have had corporate blessings. We've had individual blessings. We prayed for one another, and great miracles have happened, have they not? We have seen His hand moving in our lives through the healings and the blessings that are absolutely astounding. And you know what I'm talking about. I want to return just for a moment to this situation of the Jubilee year. The Jews today respect it, they revere it, they practice it. They know that the Lord is blessing them. Some scholars say it's every 25 years, but every multiple thereof, 2 times 25 would be 50. Here we are again. The Lord is doing great and mighty things in your lives this year and will continue to do so in this year. If you have not individually had a tremendous blessing, just wait. He will bless you. And some of you already have. I know I have. And I've watched it. I've watched our people be healed through this great priesthood authority. It's such a marvelous thing. The Jubilee year is the concept of the Jubilee is a special year of remission of sins, Webster says. Remission of sins. And what were we told corporately in the March setting of the communion? And universal pardon. In the book of Leviticus, a Jubilee year is mentioned to occur every 50th year during which slaves and prisoners would be freed, debts would be forgiven, and the mercies of God would be particularly manifest. That's this year, 2016. Yes, Jesus did come to fulfill the law of Moses, but as we talked about in class this morning, these are laws that we still abide by, aren't they? These are laws that we still practice, the Ten Commandments, for example. They're obvious laws that we still follow and must follow. I want to tell you two things that's happened in my life just this week. Something kept gnawing at me as I thought about it in the evening and even in my sleep, that I should call the insurance company about our roof because I felt that we had some hail damage perhaps. I didn't know that, but I was fairly certain. I wrestled with that for a little bit. So I called the insurance company, got the number from Larry, set up the appointment with the adjuster to come out and look at our roof. We're going to get a new roof and gutters on this building. And even though we've been saving money, that money can be used elsewhere now because the insurance company is going to pay for it. Is that not a blessing? Isn't that wonderful? We have thought that perhaps the past few years and so forth, as we've gone through our business meetings and so forth, and I promised Brother Eric I wouldn't turn this into a budget business meeting, but it's just a marvelous thing And it is no coincidence that it's happening this year, you see. This year. This is the God that we worship. If you want him to, if you want him to bless you, he will bless you. And he's not going to stop on December 31st. If you want him to bless you, he will continue to bless you. As you keep yourself unspotted, as we talked about in class, of the otherwise contaminated things of the world, the contaminating things of the world. If you do that, if you keep yourself unspotted, he'll bless you individually and corporately. We're getting gutters too, did I say that? We're getting roof and gutters. This is the God we worship, brothers and sisters. And I had to think about that before I called the insurance company. And realized that I needed to exert my manhood as we're commanded, as the scriptures say. In different and various ways we can do this. The Lord wants us to. He said in section 58, men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause of their own free will and do many things of their own free will and bring to pass much righteousness, for the power is in them. The power is in you. The power is in you. Wherein they are agents unto themselves. And inasmuch as men do good, they shall in no wise lose their reward. What a beautiful promise that is to you. And as you exercise your right to do that which you feel is right, he'll bless you. He has to. He's promised us. He can't break a promise. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the God we worship? It is. And he tells us that we're all little children. And he says to us in section 77, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye are little children, and ye have not as yet understood how great blessings, are you hearing that? That Father has in his own hands and prepared for you, and ye cannot bear all things now. Nevertheless, be of good cheer, for I will lead you along. The kingdom is yours, and the blessings thereof are yours, and the riches of eternity are yours. And he who receiveth all things with thankfulness shall be made glorious, and the things of this earth shall be added unto him even an hundredfold, yea, more. Wherefore, do the things which I have commanded you, saith your Redeemer, even the Son of Ammon, who prepareth all things before he taketh you. For ye are the church of the firstborn. And he will take you up in the cloud and appoint every man his portion. And he that is a faithful and a wise steward shall inherit all things. Amen. This is the God we worship, brothers and sisters. One other thing that's happened to me, and things will happen to you too, and they have been, I know, is that my daughter has been planning to foster a child. She's wanted to do this for a little while. Well, I want to read to you from Leviticus chapter 25 again. And listen to this, talking about this Jubilee year here. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, and they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. I read this to my companion last night, and she looked at me just so dumbfounded and thinking, what? Because last Wednesday night, my daughter received a phone call that she would be the recipient of not one, but two children. They're twins. So pray for me. They're twins, a boy and a girl. Is it a coincidence that it's this year? Not to me. Are these things a coincidence that the Lord is blessing us? Not to us. That's a miracle, quite frankly. And the fact is that it looks like they're going to be able to keep those children and adopt them because they're not going back to the parents. What a merciful God we have. This is the God we worship. But there's a warning with all of this, as there always is in this work. Through Roland Scott, who we shared with our sister Beth, upon her wonderful miracle, I'm going to read two paragraphs. I say unto thee, be ye patient, God said. For that which ye seek for is coming. But behold, I the Lord do work according to mine own time. But assuredly when the time is right, then my fulfillment is due. For behold, my time unto men seemeth very slow. But they who will slow their spirit in patience shall be strengthened with more patience. Behold, the die is cast. The way is set. And I, the Lord God, shall bring to pass all that I conceive to be. The Lord God has spoken it. One little footnote, I must say that we can't put this information on any social media because someone might find out and come and try to take those two little twins from us. So anyway, this is the God we worship.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you've granted unto us. And thank you that we could be gathered here this morning as a united body of your saints. And thank you for the words and the music that was delivered today, Lord. And help us to take them into our hearts and to remember the things that we have heard today, Lord, that we can grow in our faith in you. And help us to always remember to keep an eye single to your glory. And in Jesus Christ's most holy name, amen.